I was having a little bit of time just with God, worshiping Him. And the way that I worship in my alone time is I'll either put my headphones in and I'll turn on some worship music and I'll just turn it all the way up, or I'll sit at my desk and I'll turn the volume all the way up and I'll just sing to God. And I try to be very intentional about the first section of my worship not being me asking God for anything or telling Him my worries or telling Him what I'm going through. I try to reserve that first section for just telling God how good He is, for telling God how much I love Him and how worthy He is. So I was in that section and I was just singing, and I started like slowly thinking about some things that I was worried about. I started thinking like, man, how am I gonna approach this situation? Where's the provision for this thing gonna come from? How am I gonna do this? How am I gonna make it through this? And after a couple minutes of that, I realized that I had stopped singing. The music was still playing, but I had stopped singing. And sometimes I think that our worries or the things that we're going through want to shut our mouths when it's really about worshiping God and understanding that we don't have to have the answer. Understanding that we can worship God even in our dark times. When we sing that, Jesus, Jesus, You make the darkness tremble. You know why the darkness trembles? The darkness knows that Jesus is there. It's when we say it. It's when we release it from our mouths. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, that the enemy must flee. So I just want to encourage you that even right in the middle of your trouble, you might be sitting there thinking like, how can I sing this? Because I'm in darkness right now. Saying the name Jesus, that's the thing that causes it to tremble. That's the thing that causes darkness to flee. Just with me, can you just start saying that name, Jesus? Jesus, especially if you're in the middle of a situation. Jesus, Jesus, You make the darkness tremble. God, we just offer up our praise to You. We offer up our thanks to You. We choose to take our focus off of our problems and say, God, You are just worthy of praise. You are worthy of us thanking You every single day, God. We just praise You in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift it up to You, God. We choose to put You on the throne of our lives, God. We thank You that we can count on You, that You love us, that You're here for us, and that it's going to be okay. We just praise You in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're just going to take just a moment before I jump in. Like it was mentioned earlier, today we did launch our fifth campus in Gilbert, Arizona, and probably their service is over by now. But man, that team, it's such a great team, such a beautiful team they have there. But I just want to pray that the people that we're called to reach in Arizona, that God would help us to reach them. Can we just have just a second of prayer? Father God, I just thank You so much for what You're gonna do in Arizona. God, if You've sent us, it's because You had specific people in mind that You wanted to reach, God. So I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that as that service over there is ending, and those people, there have been people that have already given their lives to You over there. There have been people that have already seen Your presence and felt You close to them. God, I just pray that You would be with that campus, God. I pray that You would bring in every single person that You've called us to reach in the Phoenix, Gilbert area, God. I thank You in the mighty name of Jesus that there will be no distraction, no roadblock, no wall that will get in the way of people that You have called us to reach for Your name, God. We call them in, Lord. And I ask that You would do a mighty work even through that team, God. Take them to the next level of anointing, God. Take them to the next level of passion and power and grace in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for Albert and Jenny, God. I pray that You would just instill in them the confidence and the drive, God, and the passion, God. Take them to a new level in their leadership and their anointing, God. I pray that You would just open the windows of heaven over that campus, God, and that they would see mighty and powerful things, God. Let them see miracles in Arizona, God. We didn't send them. You didn't send us there just to have another nice church service, God. You sent us there because you want to change a city, God. Because you want to change a state, God. Because you want to change people's lives. So we just agree with what you want to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 So today we are continuing a series that we started last week called Unshakable Confidence. Unshakable Confidence. We are we're going through the book of Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote, and he actually wrote it when he was in prison. And we're kind of taking some of the main themes that we see in that letter. The overall main theme of that letter that Paul wrote is basically that we can have faith that is unwavering even in the middle of hard times. That we can be in the middle of a difficult situation and we can still praise God and we can know. Like I don't know if you're anything like me, there are probably different times in your faith where when it was good, you were good. And then when it wasn't so good, maybe when it was shaky, you were shaky and you were wavering. Kind of like your situation determines your faith rather than your faith determining your situation. So today, I want to talk on the specific topic of relationship. This message is called, No One is Strong Alone. No one is strong alone. Can you look at your neighbor and tell them, I need you. I need you. Now look at your other neighbor, the one you just ignored, and tell them, I need you too. I need you too. If you're sitting next to someone that you've just been in love with like for years, that was your chance right there. I need you, girl. I need you. Don't be creepy. Talking about the ability to have unwavering faith in a world where there are a lot of opportunities for us to feel nervous, for us to feel uncertain, for us to feel fear. But today, we're going to be talking about how God has made a way for us to know that we can be confident in our relationships. We have to be confident in our relationships with each other, with the body of Christ, with other believers. In order for us to have unshakable faith, we have to be in community. The truth is that you might be a strong man or you might be a strong woman. And if you're strong, that's a great strength because you're able to get things done. But what I want you guys to understand today is that no one is strong alone for long. If you have strength on the inside of you, that's amazing. But if you've ever like moved to a different area and you didn't know anybody, maybe you moved away from your family, or you started a project and you were totally on your own, or maybe you started a business and it was just you, how many know that you can like be pretty strong at first? You can have a lot of confidence, you can have a lot of energy, but the more that you kind of keep running and running, you start to slow down. If you don't have anybody, your courage can fade. Your confidence can drain. That's why it's so important for us to be in community. Like, why do we meet on Sundays? Why do we meet in life groups? The truth is that we need each other. We need each other's faith. We need to encourage each other. You need to be around people that can pour into you and encourage you and be your champion. You know, like, I know that many people have at different times asked, like, man, why do I need to go to church? God, why can't it just be you and me? I pray to you, God. I read your word. Why can't I just have that? Wouldn't it be so much easier sometimes if we just didn't have to be, like, around people? Come on now. I've had that thought, like, man, God, can't it just be you and me? I said to April just the other week, like, man, you know what? Maybe we should just, like, move to Hawaii. Just move to Hawaii, me and you, you know, you can work at Starbucks, I'll be a waiter, you know, and we just don't ever have to talk to anybody ever again. Is that just me? Has anyone else had a thought like that this morning? Thank you, Pastor Chris. One honest person in the whole church. No one is strong alone for long. Let me read a quick section of Philippians 2 to you guys. And I hope you guys take time to read the whole chapter. But today we're just going to read the first few verses and pull out a couple of key thoughts. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Let's keep going. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and God died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Shine brightly for Christ. That's good. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit just about a few key thoughts here. I love that first section when Paul says, is there any comfort in Christ? That's a good question. Is there any comfort in Christ? Like serving God, is there anything that we can feel good about? Is there any way for us to feel strengthened? Is there any way for us to feel the love of God? A lot of the answer of that question depends on whether you're doing life alone or whether you're doing life with other people. Because that's how we feel a lot of God's goodness, is through other people. You might be doing life totally by yourself and you're like, God, I just don't feel you. I just don't feel your presence. I just don't feel your love. I don't feel that energy. And if you're doing life by yourself, if you're not coming to church, if you're not a part of a group, if you don't have like a crew around you, people that are with you, that are running the race with you, people that are following Jesus with you, it can be very, very hard to feel God's goodness. Because one of the main ways that God shows his goodness is through other people. Through other people. That's also one of the main ways that we hear God's voice. We hear God's voice when we're surrounded by other people that are in the same faith that we are. Faith, that's why we get together. You know, my Bible says that faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. That means the more substance there is, the greater concentration of power there is. That's why when we get together, we can feel the presence of God. That's why when we get together, we can feel his power. We can tap into hearing his voice when we're together. Because the more people that are surrounding us, the more of that substance there is, the more concentrated it is. And that's why sometimes you can feel the presence of God anywhere, at home, at work, at school, whatever you're doing. But where does that come from? You have to have a supply of it that you can go to, that you can get drenched in. And then when you go to your week, you have it with you. You have that substance of faith with you. We have to be doing life together. We have to be in unity. And it's not that we should get our confidence from each other. Our confidence comes from God. That's where our confidence comes from. But our confidence that comes from God is much easier kept when we're in community. God gives us confidence, and if you're doing life by yourself, God can supply you with confidence, but you can't carry and keep that thing alone. So God gives it to you, and his people help you keep it. Does that make sense? Are you guys getting anything? You're being a little quiet today. I need you guys. I need your faith. You know, when I call on... So just so you know, when I call on you guys to respond and, and talk back. It's not for my own ego. It's because I need that faith. We need that faith to come together. We need to express the faith together. Amen? Amen? So confidence comes from the Lord, and it is kept in community. So many of us, I know that when I'm talking about relationships, it's like you can't even go there because either you feel pain. When people start to talk about relationships, maybe you've been hurt or rejected. Maybe you have a little bit of social anxiety, so it's really hard for you to think about being around people. Maybe some of you are like, man, Jordan, this is all sounding great, but I don't even feel like I have friends. How can I be in community? How do I do that? Or maybe, you know, I'm single. I would love to have a family. I don't have kids. I don't have a spouse. Maybe some of you have moved away from your family, and you're like, man, I would love that, the access to that power. But how do I do that if I don't have what I need? Or how do I do that if I can't get past the pain that I feel being around people? Because how many know that a lot of pain can come from just life and other people? I want you to know and understand that if that's you, I don't want you to feel shame or condemned. I'm not here to say shame on you. Actually, shame off you. Because God sees where you're at in your pain, and he wants to heal you. He wants to help you. If God has asked us to be in a place of unity, in a place of relationships with others, you better believe that he has the resource. He doesn't just expect you to do things and, okay, you better go find some friends. You better do it. He has people. Did you know that God has people that he wants you to be surrounded with? So if you want that, if you're in a place where you're like, I'm ready to go, sometimes we have to pray that. Sometimes we have to ask, God, help me know who I'm supposed to be around. Help me know what group I'm supposed to be in. Help me know what church I'm supposed to be at. And if you're one of those people that just has so much pain, so much anxiety, that it's painful for you to even think about being around people. You know, God is not like my dad, where he taught me to swim by just throwing me in the deep end. Thanks, Dad. God doesn't want to just shove you in a situation where you're suddenly surrounded by people and, okay, deal with it, sink or swim. God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you of that social anxiety. And I'm preaching to someone, directly to someone that I care about very much right now. And many others out there. God wants to take your social anxiety. He doesn't want you to be in that place. He wants to heal you from that. He wants that social anxiety to melt off of you today. We have access to it right now, today. Are you guys ready for that? Let's do it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's tap into what God has for us today. Let's say, God, I accept the healing. God, I accept the provision. God, I accept. But you know what? Like, you don't have to be thrown into the deep end to learn to swim. But you do have to, like, put your foot in the water. You know what I mean? God can't heal you from isolation when you're in isolation. Does that make sense? God can't heal you from social anxiety in your bedroom by yourself. God wants to take you through a process, and good on you for being here today. This is a part of it, being around. And I'm so thankful for our online community, our family, people who watch us. Some people have medical issues and they can't make it. Some people just haven't found a local church. There are people from all over the country watching. But online is not the destination. I want to speak to you. If you're watching online right now, God's ultimate goal is for you to be in community. In community. Online should be something that gets you from one gathering to another. Like a power bar. Power bars are great. But they're not actually meant, you can't live on power bars. You know what I mean? You can't replace every meal. It's an every once in a while thing to get you from one meal to another meal. God wants us to be together, and God wants to heal you if you need healing. And my hope is that by the end of today, by the end of this gathering, that you'll accept that healing. Some of it will be instant, and some of it will be a process. But I believe that God wants to move in your life. Because the ultimate goal is unity. It's being together. It's being in community. So even if you don't know how, God has a way for you to get there. God has people. It's not all on you. It's not all on you. God has a way. So let me talk to you guys about unity a little bit, because if unity is the goal, then that's what we need to focus in on. And the Bible does talk about over and over again, it talks about unity. It talks about the benefits of unity. It talks about how we can do more when we're doing it together. It talks about how we're less vulnerable to attacks when we're in unity, when we're together. It even talks about that God commands a blessing when we're in a place of unity. But for me, the most compelling reason for me to be in unity or to think about being in unity is because I know that I am actually not complete without other people. You and me, did you know that God created us to need other people? God created us to need other believers. We cannot be complete without community. You can't be complete without community. Like a real system of friends, a real support system. And again, if you're not there yet, God wants to get you there. But I'm not talking about an online community. I'm talking about a real flesh and blood, other people around you, sweating on you, stepping on your toes, helping you, holding your arms up, community. God wants us all to be in community. Have you ever thought of why in the Garden of Eden, back when God created Adam and then he wanted to create Eve, the way that he created Eve was he took one of Adam's ribs. You ever wonder why that is? It's because God was sending us a powerful message that we need each other, that we're not complete without each other. You ever hear someone call their girlfriend or their wife, this is my rib. This is my rib. You don't even know that, did you? That's a Bible term. April's my rib. April's my rib. We need each other. We need each other. Somebody say unity. So if unity is the goal, if unity is what God wants, if unity is where the blessing is commanded, if unity makes us complete, then what's the enemy's job? The enemy's job is to block us from that community. The enemy's job is to block us from being unified. I've said this before, but the enemy's ultimate goal in your life is to get you alone. To get you alone. Because he understands that faith substance thing. He understands. And I know that I'm talking about the enemy a lot, and you know, I'm sorry, but he's out there. He's out there, right? I can guarantee you, though, he's not in this room right now. Why do you think that is? It's because out there, when I'm just by myself, he might try to step up. But in here, with all of us, you better believe he doesn't want none. He doesn't want any of it. He wants to get you alone so that he can have at you, so that it's more of a fair fight. Right now, this is not a fair fight. Us versus the enemy, come on, give me a break. He knows. He's not going to start something in this room. We need to stay in unity. So let me talk to you today about four things that block us from unity. And I'm not talking about block us from relationship with God. I'm talking about things that block us from relationship with each other. Things that want to keep us isolated. You guys ready? Are you guys getting anything out of this? Good, me too. This is good stuff. I'm not bragging. This is stuff that God told me. It's okay to laugh. All right, number one, offense. Offense wants to block us from unity. You cannot be someone who is easily offended and be in unity or close relationship with others. We read this earlier, Philippians 2, verse 2 through 3. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Thinking of others as better than yourself. Being humble doesn't mean that you talk bad about yourself. Being humble doesn't mean that you knock yourself down or that you think bad things about yourself. Being humble simply means that you're thinking of others more than you're thinking of yourself. That you're not in the number one position in your life. And some of us, and I know for me, I have to check in with myself once a week. What position have I taken in my life? Because really the order is supposed to go God, others, and then you somewhere down here. Not that you don't need to take care of yourself. Not that you're not a priority. You're just not the first priority. You're just not the only thing that you got to take care of. You're just not the only thing that you got to worry about. You have to worry about other people. You have to put their needs and their wants and their desires in front of you. Did you know that's what we were created to do? We were created, you know, when April and I got married, we exchanged hearts. We exchanged hearts. So it then became my job. She put her heart in my hand, and I put my heart in her hands. I can't take care of both my heart all the time and her heart, but I am there to help her with her heart, and she is there to help me with my heart, and I'm trusting that she will take care of it, and she's trusting that I will. God has put other people in your life for you to support, for you to lift up. That's why he says we need each other, because he's assigned us to each other. And sometimes offense is so powerful, because it can be the thing that takes us from a great relationship, best friends, to suddenly somebody says something or does something we don't like, and then friendship over. You know, we can totally push people away just by an offended moment. There was one time where April and I, we used to live in this townhouse, and we were in our bedroom, and it was really early in the morning. Chloe wasn't feeling well the night before, so she wasn't sleeping. So we hadn't really slept like that whole night. And so, you know, when you get tired, you're just more touchy than normal. And our bedroom worked out like this. We had our bed, and we had our bathroom, and it was connected by like a little hallway. And in that hallway, the hallway was lined up with my closet where I put my clothes. So again, kind of a smaller space. And because I was just so tired, Chloe was sleeping. April and I were both getting ready for work. We had to be here really early. And April was getting ready, and I was just kind of standing in the hallway, just like staring blankly into my closet, trying to figure out what I was going to wear, and half asleep. And April was getting ready, so she kept on going back and forth from where her clothes were at to the bathroom, back and forth. And every time she would need to pass me, she'd go, "Excuse me." And I'd go, "Okay, yeah." Back and forth. "Hey, excuse me." "Okay, yeah." "Excuse me, Jordan." And finally, I looked at her. I just said, "Will you pick a side?" And she was like, you know, and she's a total angel, so she didn't address it right in that moment. Or did you? You didn't. Let's go with you didn't. I was like bothered by her. I was irritated. She kept asking me to move. Don't ask me to move. Don't keep asking me to move. I'm just standing by my... But you know what? I had to apologize to her later that day. I had to come to her and say, like, "Man, you know what? You didn't do anything wrong. I was the problem. I was the problem." Offense is like that oftentimes. Oftentimes when we get offended with other people, they're not the problem. It's us. It's us that has to adjust. It's us that has to change. Offense gets in the way of agreeing and loving each other. You ever tried to love someone like wholeheartedly when you're offended at them? In our culture, here's how crazy offense is. In our culture, we get pre-offended with people. before they even say anything, we get offended. She better not say that thing. We're about to log on to Facebook and we're like, I better not see. Well, then maybe just don't go on Facebook. You know, we have to stop ourselves. That's how powerful offense is. The pre-offended. We can't expect everybody else to do what we want to do or what we want them to do. Offense is something, and you know what? When you get offended, people see it. And so they'll start either backing away from you, or if they can't back away from you, they'll just walk on eggshells around you. And even if there's not a physical block to unity, there's like this emotional and spiritual thing that we build up. And you don't want to pour into somebody that's easily offended, because they might get offended with you trying to pour into them. We have to learn. We have to learn how to back away from offense. Offense actually comes from pride. You know, humble people don't get offended. We have to humble ourselves like it's asking us to. Because offense is this. It's, you're showing your humanity, and I don't like that. It's like, man, I have so many things that I need to work on. I do things I shouldn't do. I say things that I shouldn't say. And man, I would just be so miserable if I thought that every time I did something or said something that it would offend somebody and it would block off a relationship for me. You know, humility is so key. Another big area that offense can come from is unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. So we have what we want other people to do or how we want them to be, and they don't meet our expectations, married people. Come on, somebody. It's okay. I'm married. I get it. Whether it's communicated or not communicated, you didn't meet my expectation. So you and I can't be around you. How dare you be your own person and not exactly the person I want you to be? But you know, we can't be putting expectations, too many expectations on people. We got to turn that around. If you want a situation to be better, you got to put expectations on yourself. Sometimes it's us that has to change. Sometimes it's us that has to be stronger. Sometimes it's us that has to grow. Sometimes it's us that has to adjust. You know, other people can't do the adjusting for you. So if you want unity, don't put expectations on other people. Unmet expectations is the absolute enemy of your relationship. Because you have all these things. You have all these things. He better do this, or she better say this, or he better be grateful that I, or she better be, you know. We're going to drive each other crazy. We're going to drive each other crazy. It blocks unity. I can't be in unity with you if I'm so unhappy with the way that you're doing everything. If I'm so unhappy, and you know what? If you're unhappy with somebody, make a decision that you're going to be the one that grows. Be strong enough to be around imperfect people and be okay with them. Husbands and wives, I challenge you. And even friends, you know, we all have that friend that just constantly gets hurt by us. We didn't call them, or we didn't text them, or we didn't, and they're just. But what if we decided that we were just going to accept each other right where you're at, if you never changed another thing about yourself? If you never changed another thing about yourself, I'm going to accept you for exactly who you are, exactly where you are right now. Oh, man, it got real quiet in here. Husbands and wives, friends, parents. It's okay to have some expectations for your kids. But man, don't have so many expectations that they can't be in unity with you because you're so far above them. It's hard to be in unity with someone who's just so much better than you and so far above you. It's okay to let your kids know that you have flaws too. That's actually a good thing to show them. Be in unity. Be in unity with other believers. Is that okay for me to talk about? If you want unity, put expectations on yourself, not others. Number two, the number two unity blocker, complaining. Complaining. And remember, I'm talking about relationships with each other. So there are ways for us to have a relationship with God, and there are ways for us to have a relationship with each other. Philippians 2, 14 through 15 says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights. Complaining makes unhappy people, and nobody wants to be around an unhappy person. You know, if you're a complainer, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, it's not evil to have a complaint. It's not a bad thing to have a complaint. But there's a big difference between having a complaint and being a complainer. Having a complaint and being a complainer. Always got something negative to say. Always have that complaining tone. Did you know that you could have a tone? You know, we don't even have to be actually complaining, but it could be in our tone. Thank you, somebody. Complaining is so isolating. Here's how isolating it is. Complainers, here's something to look out for. Are you guys ready for this? Because you ask yourself, am I one of these complainers? Complainers get mad at their friends for trying to encourage them. I don't want encouragement. What I want you to do is I want you to complain with me. But good friends, good spouses, good parents, we don't complain with each other. You need other people to encourage you, to remind you, to say it's going to be okay, that God has it, that God's going to take care of it, that it's going to end, that this is just a season, that person is imperfect, that you're imperfect too, so we should be okay with each other. I know, this is tough. Some of these are tough. Some of these are tough for me. I was like writing this out, like crying. That's me. Why are you doing this, God? We have to be so careful. And again, the difference between our relationship with God and our relationship with others. If you have a complaint, you got to take that complaint to God. If you have complaint after complaint, God is the source. God is the one. He has the answer. Don't put something on people that God was meant to take. And you know what? It's okay. We don't have to pretend like we don't have anything to complain about. We don't have to pretend that we don't have anything in our hearts that we want to complain about. You know, God doesn't want you to be fake. God knows exactly where you're at. God knows your complaint before you even say it. God knows your complaint before you even think it. God knows. Don't be fake with God. Be real with God. David poured out his complaint before the Lord. You know, we have to pour out our complaint before God. But sometimes those things can just wear on our relationships. Don't complain too much to your friends. Don't complain too much to your spouse. Don't complain too much to your kids. Your kids were not meant to carry your complaints. Only the Lord is strong enough to handle, at least for me, the amount of complaints that I have. When you complain, it wears on people. Man, I don't want to be known as the guy when I walk in the room or I open my mouth. I don't want people to like tense up and go, oh man, what does he have to say? I want, when I come into a room, for people to be excited what I have to say. Because I take my complaints to the Lord. And I speak faith. And I speak courage. And I speak positivity. And I choose not to focus on the things that I could complain about. And again, this is my goal. Not that I'm there yet. That's my goal. I want not to pretend like there's nothing negative, but where am I going to put my focus? I want to focus on the positive. I want to focus. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, God. There's so many things that aren't going the way that I want them to. There's so many things that aren't going the way that I want them to in my marriage or in my friendships or at my workplace or with my boss or whatever it is. But God, I choose to focus on you. I'll make my complaint known. I'll pour it out for you. But I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to stay there. Let's make the decision today that complaining is not going to be the place where we're going to stay. Is that okay? You guys willing to make that decision? I think that's a good thing. I think that it will help us in our relationships. As a matter of fact, I think that it could be the very thing that saves a relationship. Let's turn our focus to the things that God wants us to focus on. Making a decision that we won't be focused on the negatives and that when there is negative, that we take it to the right place. Number three thing that blocks unity is dishonor. Dishonor. We don't talk about honor that much. I think that people tense up a little bit in our culture when we talk about honor. But you know, honor is a very biblical thing. Dishonor is so unhealthy and it can be so isolating. Dishonor, also known as nitpicking, also known as choosing how to treat someone based on their flaws rather than their future, also known as, I don't like that you're up there and that I'm down here, so I'm going to knock you down a few pegs so I could feel like we're on the same level. Philippians 2:29 says, welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve, for he risked his life for the work of God. Romans 12:9-10 says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Honor is really just another word for love. When you honor someone, you're showing them love and you're placing them above yourself. That's what we all have to do to each other. Not just leaders, not just, you know, it's not that type of system. It's we all need to honor each other. We all need to be, and with more than just our words, if I can speak to my generation for a moment. I think millennials are real good at honoring each other with our words. Oh man, I love you so much. You're so great. You're so amazing. We need to honor each other with our lives and actually placing other people, not getting so busy that we don't have time for people. We all have to learn to honor each other. We have to learn to honor each other even when we don't like each other. Even when we disagree with each other. How unhealthy is our country right now that we think that we have to agree with or like our leaders to show them honor? That's a problem. That's a problem, church, and we can't be a part of it. We can't be a part of it. I'll honor you until you say something that I disagree with. If you say something I disagree with or I don't like you, I'll make fun of you. I'll post about you online. I'll talk about you behind your back. No, we gotta honor. You guys know that honor up, honor down, honor all around. We gotta honor people that are right at our level. We gotta honor people that are in leadership over us. And we have to honor people that are under us. My dad used to say to me, what you honor comes closer to you. And what you dishonor moves further away. If you want people to be close to you, if you want that unity, you just start honoring people, start serving people, start placing people above yourself. And you watch how people will flood your life. People draw close to honor. If you feel lonely, if you want friends, if you want relationships, if you want that relationship with your spouse or your kids or your parents, come on, kids, we got to honor our parents. If you want your relationships to get better, if you want to be in unity with your family, if you want to be in unity with the people around you, you honor them and you watch how they'll draw close to you. People will flood in your life. They will kick down your door to be in your life if you're an honoring person. If you want a mentor, man, you got to honor. If you're looking for a mentor, honor them. Buy them Starbucks, show up early for your meetings, thank them. Post about them on Instagram, like honor them. Not fake. Don't be fake about it. If you don't have anything nice to say about somebody, don't fake it. But if you don't have anything nice to say about somebody, maybe they just shouldn't be in your life. Go find somebody that you can honor. And people will just circle around you. The last unity blocker that I'll go over, and then we'll close, is fear. Fear really wants you to be alone. Fear wants you to be without any friends. Fear wants you to think twice before you open up to somebody. Fear of loss. Maybe you've experienced loss in your life. So to experience less pain, just I'm gonna do with less people because at some point I'm gonna lose those people. Or fear of pain. Because when you're in relationship with other people, you open yourself up to drama, you open yourself up to discomfort, you open yourself up to being stretched, to having them step on your toes. Maybe you open yourself up to them seeing your flaws. And there's a lot of pain that can come. Man, I just don't want to deal with the pain anymore. I don't want to reach out to my kids anymore because I just don't want to deal with the pain. Or fear of rejection. Man, I don't want to be rejected anymore by people. So I reject them. I reject them. Fear wants to keep you isolated. Fear wants to keep you away from other people. And I understand that fear. It's okay. Again, if that's where you're at today, God has healing for you. God has the resource for you. God is not looking at where you are and going, come on, just toughen up. No, God wants to heal. The Bible says that God heals the wounds of the broken heart. He binds up our wounds. He wants to take us through a process of healing. He wants us to lay that fear at his feet. He wants us to no longer carry that fear by ourselves. He actually doesn't want us to carry it at all. We don't have to let fear run us. Gateway, we don't have to let fear control us. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you to move out of that place of making decisions with fear. That every every decision that you make, for some of us, is fear. Am I afraid of this? Because if I'm afraid of this, I don't want to move into it. Is there a potential for me to get hurt? Because if so, I'd rather just sit it out. I'd rather just not deal with it. God, I feel like I want to speak to you, but what if I speak to you and nothing happens? What if I open my life to you and nothing changes? Or what if I come to you and you tell me that I'm not worthy because of the mistakes that I've made? Don't let that fear run your life. God does want you to live in confidence. He wants you to make decisions boldly, knowing that He has your back, knowing that He's there to pick you up if you fall, knowing that He's there to forgive you if you mess up, knowing that nothing can stand in between you and God's love for you. The Bible says that there is nothing so powerful that it can take God's love for you. You don't have to be afraid of God. And you don't have to be afraid of other people. God's going to be there with you. Things will hurt. There will be hard things. People will do things that bother you. People will do things that bump into you or make you feel sad. You may experience some loss. You may experience some rejection. Not that that's what God wants for us, but God is there for us when those things happen. God wants us to lay that fear down at His feet right now. And I know you can have the assurance today that God loves you, that He's there for you. Even when it's hard, God wants you to have the assurance that it's going to be okay. Can you guys stand with me? I'm just going to close. I know I've said I'm going to close like 3 times. And I'll say that again, probably another 4 times. I want to pray for some people today. Again, I came today hoping that God would speak to me and expecting that God would change me if I reached out to Him. I believe that God wants to speak to you. I believe that He wants to change some things, to bind up some wounds. So if everybody could just close their eyes, because I'm gonna ask you to make a couple decisions. And I don't want anyone looking around, but the first decision that I wanna ask you to make, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand in just a moment if this is you. But man, if that fear thing just really speaks to you, if you have that social anxiety and you don't want to carry that anymore, you don't want to make decisions based on that anymore, you need God to heal you of that rejection, of that loss. You don't want to make decisions out of fear anymore. You want to set the fear right at God's feet right now. Will you just raise your hand? Man, that's amazing. 1 hand, 2 hands, 3 hands, 4 hands. God sees the hand. 5. God sees. 6. 7. Come on, God wants to heal you right now. 8. Come on, right now is 9, 10. Right now is the moment. 11, 12, 13. Come on, it may be an instant miracle. It may be the start of a process. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I see you. I see you. That's amazing. Okay, put your hands down. And then the other decision that I'm going to ask you to make, I'm going to ask if you have never opened your life up to Jesus before. Maybe you're hearing all this and you're like, man, I want Jesus to take these things from me, but I don't even have a relationship with them. Maybe you've never said, God, I need you before. Maybe you have said it before and you're just far from God, whatever reason, just life got in the way, pain got in the way, rejection, fear. Or maybe you've been just isolated. You've just been away from church and you can't really be in a relationship with Jesus and be away from other believers. And you just want to say to Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Whether that's for the first time or for the 17th time, it's okay. You just raise your hands. I just want to know who just wants Jesus to like take control of their lives. One hand, two, three, four, five, six. I see you. Who else? Keep your hands raised. Seven, eight, nine. Come on, that's amazing. Come on, now is the time, right now. Now is the time for you to come back to Jesus. God doesn't want you to live alone. I think that's 10. Okay, put your hands down. And I'm just going to say a simple prayer, and I want you guys to repeat after me. Everybody in the room, everybody, we're all going to say this. Just say, Jesus, I need you. Take my fear. Help me, Lord. Help me to find community. Jesus, I open my life to you. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's just as fast as that. God started something in your life. God started something in your life today. Again, he's not pushing you into the deep end. You've made a decision now, and you have to put one foot in the water. You have to start getting around people. You have to find a life group. You have to find a community. You have to find people that can help you. And you watch as you surrender those things to God. You watch your life change forever. Your life will never be the same from this moment. Now, I just saw like 25 hands go up. Can we like celebrate that as a church and thank God for what he did?
Wow, what a word. Let's give it up for Pastor Jordan. Good job. Amen. How many know we needed this morning? How many know that in society today, there's so many things going on that we need to work this out? So my rib and I, we have some things to talk about this afternoon. I didn't know that, the rib. Yeah, my rib. She's in the other room. So, hey, listen, some of you made some decisions here. We're going to be receiving our offering here in a minute, but there's this card that we use as our primary means of communication. It's in the seat back in front of you. Take a moment, fill that out. If you made a decision to want to know Jesus Christ or even to get involved with any of the groups here, because it's in the life groups where we have an opportunity to work out what we heard here this morning, ask questions, get prayer, meet new friends, and break any kind of isolation and things like that so God can really bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So listen, right after the service as well, Pastor John, we got water baptisms. We're going to mention that. We're going to have our prayer teams up here, and we'll be able to pray with everybody here this morning. We just are thankful for everybody coming here. So ushers, let's come on up here. Let's wait on the people here. We're going to have some worship. But Lord, this day, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God, to hear the word of God from the man of God, because it's all about you, Jesus. And we thank you for your blessing upon every person here in this house as we give in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
See your rain. We receive. See you.
the lobby there. We have information, a Bible. We have tools that we give to people that want to know Jesus Christ. So take that over there and turn that in. And Pastor John, tell us what's going to happen here in a few minutes.
That's awesome. We have water baptisms today after this service. And it's going to be over in the cafe. We have a new baptistry that we're going to use. And if you're going to be water baptized, as soon as the service is over, you can go out over to the Connection Center. We'll give you a shirt just like this if you want one to be baptized in. Pastor Chris, what's it say on the back there?
I got baptized.
I got baptized in the 408.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you don't have to have one to be baptized, but we want to give you one. So get dressed for water baptism as soon as possible. We'll meet you out in the cafe so right after service.
What's the qualifications? I mean, do we do any training? Is it,
We're going to talk to you for just a couple minutes.
Okay.
And it's just so you know what you're doing.
And if they didn't bring a towel, they can run around in the parking lot to dry off. Is that?
Yeah, probably not today in the parking lot, but you could be rebaptized out there.
So listen, we're going to have our prayer teams up here. Yeah. If you need prayer afterwards, otherwise, Pastor John, close us in prayer and we'll go.
Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness in Christ Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us and strengthens us and draws us to you and together. And Lord, we ask that everything that you have planned for us today not only happens, but becomes solid, stays solid, and we grow in you in grace. And we're thankful for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. And we ask this believing in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.